Welcome back, everyone, to your go-to podcast for insights into digital marketing and entrepreneurship. Today, I'm very excited to have Craig Cook, an entrepreneur and trailblazer in the digital marketing space. He's been the CEO of a very well-respected digital marketing agency for 26 years and has moved on to his new passion. And I might have to just pause there. I'll remove this. Don't worry.
Okay.
Going into his new passion of writing and sharing some of his insights into digital marketing and some interesting topics we're going to talk about now. Craig started with a modest investment of $1,300 in an Apple computer back in the days when there was no Instagram, no Twitter, no Facebook, none of these fancy things. And when he ended, 26 years later, he sold off his business to a big top digital creative agency in 2019. So that's pretty cool. Also, during that time, the company was in the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing companies for 5 consecutive years. And Craig has also been recognized as a top professional in the field of marketing and advertising. So we're super pleased and happy to have you with us on the call tonight, Craig.
Oh, well, thank you, Nick. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Cool. So the topic tonight is obviously digital marketing, but we're also going to talk about your book and how that ties into it. And your best-selling book is called Business Kung Fu. So obviously that title is definitely going to get people's attention. So why don't we talk a little bit about the inspiration behind this book? So what is the driving force behind writing Business Kung Fu? And can you perhaps delve into the journey that led you to write this book?
Sure. My first passion in life actually was books. As soon as I was able to read, I always had a book in my face, and I was always asking my mom to read to me before I could read. So that was really my very first passion. Just I was always reading constantly. And as I grew older, continued reading. And when I was around 17, 18, I remember thinking, oh, one day I would like to write a book just because I love books so much. I didn't know about what. It just was an inner desire. And then if we fast forward to around 2011, I came up with the concept of Business Kung Fu. And it took me 12 years to get it done, but here it is. I got it done and just released it a couple months ago. And the concept behind Business Kung Fu, why it's titled Business Kung Fu, is I studied Chinese Kung Fu intensely from the age of 17 to 25. And then I started my company at 25. But I took a lot of the lessons and principles that I learned from martial arts and applied it to the world of business. One, my mindset with discipline, especially perseverance. The way I went about learning Kung Fu is the way I learned, decided to set up the foundation of the company. It all starts with a foundation. And just ways I thought about organizing principles is I borrowed from those principles of martial arts. So it's really relaying those metaphors and lessons that I learned and what I learned in martial arts and then applying it to the world of business. And it contains stories of the entrepreneurial journey running a digital marketing agency along the way.
So this is not an overnight AI developed. So 12 years to write this book and getting your business, number one, to get bought by another big agency is one thing. So that shows that there's something that you're doing right. And being CEO for 26 years, I'm surprised you've got as much hair as you have, but I know why it is gray. So obviously dealing with HR, PR, clients, all of those activities. Who would be the best audience for this book? So who is going to get max value out of reading your book?
I geared it towards entrepreneurs just because of my entrepreneurial journey. And that's the context, sharing these lessons I learned, applied it to the world of business as an entrepreneur. Starting with very little and just fighting every step of the way. So I'd say entrepreneurs, especially those ones that are in that first 5 years of business, maybe people that are aspiring to be entrepreneurs. I also think that any sort of business professional or professional in various fields could benefit from some of the lessons, primarily entrepreneurs. But it's interesting, some of the reviews I've received on Amazon, people are saying not only is a great roadmap for business, but also for life. So I was surprised about that. I was like, oh, okay, I can see how people could take that. It's just how you extrapolate the principles and lessons and apply it to your world.
I suppose in today's AI era, we can get tons of information of how to run a business, what accounts are, how to generate leads, all of those things you can pretty much stick into ChatGPT and get best in class feedback, better than you'd get from a lot of consultants. But the balance that it seems that Business Kung Fu brings is it's not just about information, it's knowledge. So it's linking the two together. So it's in real life practices and how to deal with things that are coming out of left field. And that philosophy, and obviously Kung Fu and any of the martial arts have a very strong philosophy of discipline. And business is about discipline. It's not just a fly by the seat of your pants activity. Otherwise, you don't last over five years.
That's right. Those first 5 years especially are the hardest. And I have a whole chapter on discipline because you're 100% spot on. Correct. Discipline is essential to running a business. And that's why I have a whole chapter on discipline. And then right after that, another chapter on what I call discipline techniques.
Some additional key lessons from Business Kung Fu before we talk about your digital agency?
Sure. In the beginning, the first chapter, I talk about building a foundation. And when I studied martial arts, I built a foundation of basic kicks and punches and blocks, stepping, stances, etc. And it's the same thing when you establish a business, you have to build that foundation. And just if there's any sort of structure, a house or a commercial skyscraper has to have a solid foundation in order for it to be stable, right? So same thing with business. And I introduce what I call a model called the five elements of entrepreneurship. And this is based on ancient Chinese five element theory. In that theory, in Chinese tradition, there's five elements that we all have a constitution of, makeup of, and that's fire, earth, water, metal, and wood. So based on my experience and my personal experience from what I went through myself and observation of others, I identified five elements and modeled it after this five element theory. So the five elements of entrepreneurship, it starts with passion, which leads to discipline, which leads to expertise, which leads to confidence, which leads to faith. So each of those are elements. And there's a generative cycle where those elements build, the capacity builds. But it could also go to the other direction where the capacity starts to diminish. And then there's interrelationships between the elements that can have positive or negative aspects to it. So really what you want is to have all these elements developed and in balance. So that's the point I get across. And that's right in the first chapter, actually. And for people that are interested, they can actually get the first chapter for free on my website, which we can direct people to later. But
I'll send that link with that free first lecture. So I like that point of the five principles, starting from passion and moving to faith. And I suppose you're at that fifth level where you're now becoming a sifu yourself. You're becoming a teacher. You're becoming you're a grand master when it comes to entrepreneurship, and are now starting to hand over some of the knowledge and some of the information you've gleaned over the years and honed over the years. You ran a business for over two decades. Was it smooth sailing for the whole period, or was it just great, always being in the Inc. 5000, or were there a couple of tough years in amongst those?
Yeah, definitely a loaded question, right? Yeah, I believe you know the answer. But yes, for the audience, definitely not easy. Definitely wasn't smooth sailing. It was filled with ups and downs, challenges, adversity, obstacles to overcome. And it had, especially the agency world, it's highly competitive and there's lots of ups and downs in it. But it was a great run. And yeah, I started it in 1996. So a digital first company way back in the 20th century in 1996. And like you said, there was no the social media channels and there wasn't any MP3s, no broadband. People were afraid to buy stuff online. There's only 30 million people online at the time when we started. It's like the population of California worldwide that was online. Yeah. And so it was a lot of barriers, a lot of challenges. And the first 5 years was really brutal because not having a lot of resources, $1,300 a piece, I started it with two other friends from college and in a computer. And it was just grinding it out the old fashioned way, really. And at the time, since the internet was so new, It wasn't like we had this network of all these people that were knowledgeable, because it was just so new. Everyone was learning at the time and just jumping on board. And it was just a lot of struggle over the years. But yeah, you learn and you adapt, evolve. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, which I discuss in my book. And yeah, but it's been a great ride.
It's amazing how the wheel turns. I think a lot of folks right now are going, AI is absolutely changing the way we are going to work. It's going to take away our jobs. The machines are going to take over, et cetera, et cetera. And some other folks are saying, wow, this is the best opportunity that we've had in the last 20 years. And I think that's true. I think if one looks back at when you started out at the beginning of the dot-com age, nobody knew anything. It was open season. And I think there is a very nice comparison between the early dot-com days and where we're at now. What lessons do you think, and this might be a nice topic of your next book, maybe at looking at how to, how do we navigate the AI.com era versus the dot-com era? What are the learnings from when nobody knew anything, started new businesses, had to just use tape and string to get a business going and create enormous new industries?
Yeah, there's definitely a parallel I see. It's a great point that you bring up. And I'll give you an example. So way back in the 20th century, in 1996, when we started, yeah, the internet was brand new. Everything was everyone was just learning about it. But let's even go back a little bit further. Let's say in the mid to late 80s, when the Apple computer was really starting to become popular, you had the whole desktop publishing revolution, where people were starting to use the Macintosh to create graphics for all kinds of printed material, right? And in the traditional advertising world, you had all the people that were used to doing it the old-fashioned way, using paste-up and the typesetting, the old style of doing it without a computer. And I think there's a really strong parallel, because you think about it, when the Macintosh started coming along and people were started adopting that and doing the same type of work, those people that were stuck in the old way were thrusting up their nose at, oh, that's just ridiculous. That's just not a good way to go. Oh, look at that crap. It doesn't do things the way that it should. And look what happened. Nothing is done that old fashioned way anymore. It's all done with computers and with the various applications that we have today, like InDesign from Adobe and all the various publishing programs. So it's very similar, where here we have this brand new way of getting work done. And it's not just one industry, it expands. And that's the enormous thing. It's like the internet was everything. The AI is everything too, where it touches every industry. And people that are afraid of it and feel that they're going to get replaced by, you know, machines, robots, whatever, it most likely it's really going to be that they're going to be replaced by people that are leveraging AI technology to be more efficient and effective in their work.
I think that point that you've made is absolutely perfect. And it's what I try and teach my students as well, in terms of you've got to understand the fundamentals of how to speak to AI, and you're going to go into new businesses where you are just 5 minutes ahead of your boss, 5 minutes ahead of the rest of your other team members. And that's pretty much what you need now, because it's almost impossible to stay on top of things. And I think what we need to consider, especially when if we look at the dot-com era versus the AI era that we find ourselves in now, is that I think in the dot-com era, it took clients a little bit longer to get onto the dot-com, to build websites, to get online. There was a bit of hesitancy, and it took a couple of years. So the adoption curve was quite slow for clients to get on board. But I think with AI, we've now got clients saying, how can we use AI? How can we use these to improve our social media, improve our copywriting, improve these kind of things? So the push is almost coming from the other side, which is quite interesting, not just from the agency side. So agencies are under such pressure now to know everything in order just to stay in business. So I think you got out in the right time when it came to your when it came to your agency, because otherwise this whole lifelong learning of just new technologies and new tools coming out is quite breathtaking, actually.
It really is. It's an immense amount of pressure on agencies to stay up to speed on all these different applications. And back in the late 90s, when everything, the internet was really starting to grow, I remember it was fast back then. Like every week there was some new software platform that was coming out, some new website that did X, Y, and Z, just so much stuff. But it seems like over the past two decades, especially, that these cycles of time keep getting shorter and shorter as technology is expediting everything and speeding everything up. So these cycles are, it's just this winding spiral in it, and it's creating additional pressure for people to adapt and learn all this stuff because it's coming so fast. And from an agency perspective, it's very challenging to develop the talent, and especially from on the client side, when clients are starting to develop their own in-house departments looking for the same type of talent to do things their way. Because the barriers to entry are so low now compared to what they were, say, 20 years ago.
Interesting you talk about in-house designers, developers, et cetera. There was this period, obviously, in our day earlier, where companies would go to an agency because you couldn't use the software programs. You couldn't go and buy media wherever you wanted. You had to use a specialist agency. And then slowly over the last sort of 10, 15 years, people, businesses, because Adobe, particularly those naughty guys, Shutterstock, being able, where you could just buy beautiful images. And the access to this technology is much cheaper. I remember when we first bought Photoshop and those programs, you could only buy Photoshop by itself. Then you had to buy InDesign. And those were very expensive. So a client or a regular person couldn't just go and buy that. You had to be an advertising agency. Now with Canva, which is free, or the very small amount to pay for the paid version, means that anyone and their dog can create designs that we couldn't dream of many years ago. But it seems that, and as you talked about there, that in-house teams are not going to now have the specific skills and knowledge required to deliver what clients need. So we might actually see the movement back to some specialist agencies, with the client going back to their role of managing the brand, managing the actual business fundamentals, versus messing around with every new AI technology and these things that are moving around so quickly. So I think perhaps the agency industry isn't as dead as I thought.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a good point you bring up, because there's definitely a lot of challenges. And what technology has done is lowered, or sometimes even removed completely, these barriers to entry. Like you said, some of the software programs are even free. Then they have the paid version, but you can do a lot with some of these free versions like Canva, et cetera. So now you have all types of people that are able to produce and create. Now, from the comparison that I remember seeing, where I really saw a big difference, was how the middleman was getting removed in the world of print. So back in the day, we started digital first, but we actually did a lot of media packaging. So I learned how to do print brokering and CD-ROM replication and broker that stuff. Way back in the day, I was totally dating myself, the CD-ROMs. But over time, that industry has completely changed, where people just go direct. And so many different companies started selling direct to the end customer and remove that need for that middleman. And that's the challenge with where the agency sits too. Because does the company hire the agency to manage all the SEO and paid search and programmatic display campaigns? Or do they just have their in-house person or people do that task? Yeah, there's a big challenge there for agencies. Now, what agencies, I feel, need to do more than ever is they really have to develop their talent to an all-star level, where it's better than what people would have in-house. Yeah, that's always been the case, but even more important now. And I remember telling my staff way back, maybe like 10 years ago, our biggest competitor is the in-house agency, the in-house marketing department, because of just the way things were trending. So now AI gives an opportunity, though, because if there's going to be there's already a big need for specialization, and if agencies could really specialize in certain areas, and really develop a high degree of competency, what I call discipline technique, then that can help set them apart where a company wouldn't actually need them. And also strategy too, just being able to have really true strategic thinking, because a lot of companies lack that.
Yeah, strategy. And yeah, to your point, I think the a lot of companies are starting to rethink in-house versus getting in those specialists. And to your point in the book, it's not about information, it's about knowledge, how you apply that. And being an all-star or being a superstar at a particular subject, because it's impossible now for an in-house person to be a specialist in everything that's coming out now. The level of change is just so fast. So I do see there is still potential for agencies, and I think that's why they're still popping up left, right, and center. And it'll be interesting to see how it changes in the next few years from the original agency concept, which had media buying, which had planning, which had strategy, which had the traffic, etc. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. If I can go back.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was just add one more comment on that. Yeah, because over time, that's one of the big things I noticed in just the industry, that how it evolved was back when we first started, we were doing everything. I did everything, design, programming, everything. But everything started to get more sophisticated, complex, and there was the need to have additional expertise, because it took more time to learn how things were getting more sophisticated. Programming, instead of just straight HTML, then you had JavaScript, and then Flash came along. I think we were talking before we started here about Flash, right? ActionScript. And then the need for to differentiate between front-end programming and back-end programming, because it became so sophisticated in what you could do and accomplish in the amount of time and effort it would take to really get develop a high degree of skill. So today, that's going to continue, and we're already seeing, like social agencies, search agencies, these agencies that specialize in specific things. And I'm sure we're going to start seeing some AI agencies that are very specialized in getting things done faster and more effective with a heavy focus as AI as part of their arsenal.
Absolutely. And I'm sure there are a couple already boiling or under the covers now that are going to explode quite soon. But I want to go back to, again, the history of advertising a little bit. With Canva, I don't know if you've played on Canva at all or tried any of these new programs, but everything on Instagram and social media is starting to look the same, because everyone's got access to the exact same images. I've seen it. I've also used a couple of companies like Pexels and beautiful stuff, but I've seen the exact same photograph or video used on a whole bunch of other platforms. How do you think creativity is suffering because of this access to free things and generic creative material? And what is the solution?
Yeah, so this is where, especially with AI in play now, is the need for original creative thinking and talent still plays a huge importance. All these barriers to entry have been removed from everything we just talked about. And yes, now you're starting to see patterns. Like, it's like when WordPress came along. And after a few years, so many websites looked like WordPress websites. Like, oh, that is not on WordPress. Oh yeah, there's another WordPress website, right? Because you can just tell. Yeah. And yeah. So now what happens is everything starts to look similar or the same. And how do you differentiate? The biggest point, or one of the biggest points in marketing, is differentiating yourself. What's your brand positioning? How do you tell your story? And how is that different from everyone else out there? Because you need to have the spotlight on your company, your products and services, so it's not lost in the sea of sameness.
Yeah, so that creative thinking and strategic thinking as well is important. And I think possibly we need to find some new advertising channels or platforms or different ways to engage with folks, because traditional advertising, and people have been conditioned in a certain way to expect 30-second adverts or to expect the sell in ads. Surely with AI, with us getting exactly what we want when we want it. We begin to want something different, something that's going to shock us out of our complacency, because with all the algorithms telling us exactly, delivering exactly what we want the whole time, surely at some stage we're going to say, wait a minute, I don't want to just be like everyone else. Give me something different. And this is where podcasts, I think, come in. So it's a different channel, different platform. And perhaps there'll be, and that's why TikTok came up, obviously, and the short form videos. But what is the next thing, I wonder?
Yeah, maybe. I'm excited for when holograms become like ubiquitous. I think that could be really something. There's sure the VR. I'm not a big VR person. We'll see how Apple's product, when it comes out with the glasses, I heard is pretty awesome. But yeah, just having to wear something, for me personally, that's just me. But holograms, when I've gone to CES in the past years ago, started seeing these hologram displays. Wow, that's wild. And that could be a whole new method of you're walking into a store and seeing holograms, and like a Minority Report, I think they had that way back in the day, right? Yeah, I think, and you're right, new experiences. How can you differentiate yourself from new experiences? And the podcast thing is huge. I think even people go, I think that's why there's a big trend towards retreats and offsite workshops, getting out of the office and going somewhere and having an experience. Because at the end of the day, that's what's really developed over the past 20 years as well, is the need to have experiences. That's where people value their time, is through experiences.
I'm going to go back to agency and talk about your sales team's expectations of how to get clients. Something I've seen is that clients and folks working in agencies are hoping that social media, LinkedIn messages are going to get them clients. Have people forgotten about cold calls and actually knocking on doors?
Yeah, relationships. That's with the agency world. From my experience, it was really about relationships. Yeah, you would have an instance where someone would find you online through a search or whatever digital social post, but a lot of business came through referrals, which is based on relationships, and then also networking, which is based on relationships. And I'm talking about like really strong clients that have large budgets and have strong needs for an agency, right? It's a huge relationship business, and you just don't get that from a social post that someone's going to see that and then sign you up for $500,000 project.
Yeah, I suppose if somebody just books your product from going onto your website immediately, they can't have done terribly much due diligence. They're not necessarily looking at building a relationship either. And I agree. And I can't push enough the importance of networking and getting out and being seen by your peers in your industry. So other agency folks, or going to work. Sorry, my cat is trying to leap onto my...
Oh, yeah. That's good. My dog's clawing at the door right now, trying to get in.
Okay. Okay. So we're both in the same boat. Yeah. The networking side is so important. I've got networks from where I've worked in Nigeria, South Africa, Malaysia, Norway, the UK, a whole host of countries. And yeah, I still have those relationships 20 years on, and some of those clients are 15 years old. Networking, the youngsters seem to forget how you need to get business by actually meeting people and getting out of your comfort zone.
And engaging with someone and having a conversation, going a deeper layer of discussion, right? Yeah, that's a challenge. The young people have an interesting road ahead because of this quick 10-second interactions, text messages, messaging apps, all the social apps. It's just such quick exchanges. Where's the deep connection? Where's the deep discussion? Even though we're more connected, we're more disconnected.
Yeah. And I feel that youngsters don't do enough research into clients and into the people that they're meeting with. It's, hi, we'd like to have a meeting, etc. I've struggled to find any staff or students that I've worked with who've actually gone and found out who runs the business, who owns the business, how many staff do they have, what is the turnover, what challenges have they had in the last couple of years, what new technology are they bringing on board, what events have they done. Just basic things like that so that you don't come across as a moron. And I won't lie, I only learned this slightly later in life with my wonderful boss, Kumaran, in Malaysia, who taught me these and go prepared into meetings. And again, one of my heroes is Margaret Thatcher, and she was always more prepared than anybody else in the cabinet, and nobody could rattle her because she just had all the facts and was prepared. And not enough preparation. I think that what separates great companies from companies that are not great is preparation, research, and understanding who your opponent is, not opponent, but who your potential client is, that you are able to answer questions and go in there with some knowledge.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's the saying that when people say, oh, they're just lucky. Well, no, luck is just being prepared for opportunity. And I couldn't agree more with preparation. And there's actually a story that I relay in my book about how this really getting to know this one potential client and their needs, who they were working with, what the pain points were, the technology that they were using, how they were going about their programming. And as I learned all that information, I took that in and used it to my advantage to make points that would say, yeah, we do it this way, which was directly addressing the pain point that they were experiencing with this other vendor, and eventually won the business. And it was all about what you just said, research, getting to know what's going on, getting to understand the battlefield in a sense, and where, what's the positioning, what's at play, and then leveraging that information to your advantage.
I learned from working with a couple of consulting companies that annual reports are a wonderful repository of information to find out exactly what a company is wanting to achieve for the next couple of years. That's a little tidbit perhaps for listeners, that if you're going after a large client, go and find the annual report for the last 2-3 years and read what the direction of the company is. It has all the names of the important people, how much money they've got, what their focus areas are, and what their strategy is going forward. Honestly, you can go and prepare if you're not just looking at mom and pop shops. So that's the shop talk. That's the shop talk over on agencies. Let's talk a little bit about health challenges and running a business, obviously very demanding and very complex. Did you face any health challenges when you were running your business, and how did you overcome these potentially?
Yes, 100%. So when I started my company, I was young, 25, and I was in phenomenal shape from all the martial arts training I was doing. I was also doing strength training, you know, lifting weights and so forth. So I was in really great shape. When I went and started my company, I was just so all in, 1,000% in. I just was really allocating all my time towards that, and the time for self-care started getting less and less and less and less. By the time I turned, say, 35, I was in the other end of the spectrum, just overweight, just out of shape, just a lot of sitting, just this, we're not designed to be sedentary.
It's a kung fu panda, basically.
Yeah, that's right. I turned into a kung fu panda. Yeah, 100%. Yes, that's a good one. Yeah, and I was like a hibernating kung fu panda at that. Yeah. And fast forward to when I was 45, 46 or so, I was diagnosed with diabetes, actually, because I just wasn't taking care of myself. And I did notice, like, when I was around early 40s that, man, something's not right. So I started taking slow steps to improve my health, but it wasn't until I got that diagnosis that, oh, okay, I really got to handle this now. Not tomorrow, but now. And I just did what I needed to do for self-care, and I've reversed it 100% naturally, no medication.
Amazing. And Qigong, so that's slightly different to Kung Fu. So how are you practicing that now?
Yes. So Qigong is a huge part of my life now. And there's three flavors of Qigong, three main pillars, let's say. There's martial Qigong, there's medical Qigong, and then there's spiritual Qigong. Now, I had experience with the martial Qigong when I was studying Chinese Kung Fu for martial applications and some general health and wellness. But it wasn't until in 2014, I came across a gentleman that did medical Qigong. And at the time, I was extremely stressed from all the as running a business, especially an agency business, all the pressures of managing your team, trying to meet the needs and demands of clients, working with vendors, and then also family life, juggling all these things is a tremendous amount of pressure. And I found myself just off-centered and off-balance, just really not myself. And I went to see this gentleman, a friend of mine referred me to him, and he did the medical qigong work where it's manipulating and directing qi, which is energy, inside and around the body. And I had a great experience the first session. So I would go see him once a month for, and after 6 months, I find myself feeling much more centered and balanced. And then he asked me, hey, you want to learn how to do this? I was like, yes. You know, because I already had the Kung Fu experience and I was always fascinated with the healing aspects of Qigong. So I was familiar with it, but I never met anyone that could actually do it. So when I had that opportunity, I jumped on it. And I've been studying since January of 2015, 9 years ago. And I actually conduct the energy work on people. I have a lot of professional people that come to see me, actually. The most common thing that people come to me with is anxiety. And from people working professionals, whether they're running a company or executives, there's just all these stresses and demands creates a lot of anxiety in people, which resides in the heart center. So Qigong's been a game. It was a game changer for me in running my company because I got much more centered and balanced, and it's just been a passion of mine. And I'm actually enrolled now in a doctorate program for Chinese energy medicine. So it's just another thing that I'm looking at sharing with others based on my experience. Because that's where I'm at now. And at this point in my life is I had a great run, 26 years. If I equate every year to a mile, I ran a marathon in the world of business, right? And I took a break. But at this point, I want to share. I want to share my experience, my knowledge, wisdom, and my abilities to help others. That's really it. So the book's a part of that. The Qigong practice is a part of that. And I want to bring it all together too in a unique, interesting way to work with people and share.
You've taken away my last question, which is what does the future hold for Craig? So that was a really good summary. So I might chop that and take it back. So what are you going to be doing with the rest of your life, Craig? So that the continuing education, obviously, is super, super important. And I hope to see some more progress from you in that. And I'm sure a new book will be coming out, hopefully not another 12 years, Craig. You need to cut that timeline. We won't judge you if you use a little bit of AI to simplify that process. But Craig, it's been fascinating chatting to you. And I'd love to speak to you a little bit more about Qigong and how you use that in business practices and also just for general life, because a lot of us are anxious. A lot of us have got stresses and strains, and I think there are various ways to deal with that don't involve pills, that don't involve big invasive methods. So I think it's very useful in any case. So thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for recognizing that, and thank you for having me here today.
And I left one thing out, which is where can people buy your book, Craig?
Oh, yes. So my book, Business Kung Fu, it is available on Amazon. Yeah, hopefully I'll have an audiobook later and it'll be released through other channels. But at the moment, on Amazon and paperback, hardcover, and Kindle format. And if people go to my website, csquaredpro.io, that's the letter C, and then squared, spelled out, pro.io, you can download the first chapter for free. Of course, you got to fill out a quick little form, but...
Yeah, and you don't never lose that digital marketing bug. Yeah. Great. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Nick.
Chat with Nicholas. He'll listen to you. Then he'll laugh and then he'll cry with you. It's all in a safe space for you to speak your truth.